Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Will 2021 be the year interactive television finally enters the fast lane to mainstream acceptance? My first guest believes so, forming Freedom Interactive TV Networks Association. Wow, that's a lot to say. And executive producer Brock DeYoung will join me next and say more about that. Our second half hour features Will Richmond, editor-publisher of Video News and co-host of the Inside the Stream podcast. We'll review last week's digital content new fronts and preview next week's big parade of upfront events. Also ahead, NBC sets its fall 21 season lineup. We'll have the full details, Blackish's last act, our classic trivia question, and a new Amazon anthology with major stars is our show to know. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on Amazon Music, Quibble, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Great to have you aboard on a beautiful Friday afternoon here in the Big Apple, 75 degrees top of the hour, and we welcome you once again to Brought by TV's current and future. Some wonderful guests coming away over the next hour or so, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Give us a call. How do you do it? You pick up the phone, you raise your voice, and this is the number you use, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn Radio. We also have our chat room in business for you. It's SimonApple04 by name. You can find that at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So go ahead and use it. And while the promo is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk, Speaker, or TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions. Other people will be live with you. We expect to have Brock DeMignon from the Freedom Interactive TV Networks Association live with us after these news notes. NBC didn't wait for next week to go public with its fall primetime lineup. The network announced that lineup a few hours ago. Monday will represent The Voice, followed by new drama Ordinary Joe. The Voice kicks off Tuesday, followed by another new drama, La Brea, and New Amsterdam. The Chicago trilogy, that's Med, Fire, and PD from Dick Wolf, remains on Wednesday nights. Now you can get ready for a new Wolf trilogy on Thursdays, with newcomer Law & Order for the Defense, dealing with the world of defense attorneys, Year 23 of Law & Order Special Victims, Universe of Hargitay, and Year 2 of Organized Crime. The Blacklist and Dateline continue on Fridays, Saturday Night Live reruns on the same Saturdays, and the weekend wraps with Sunday Night Football, 20 games upcoming 2021 NFL season. In early 2022, This Is Us will return for its final round of episodes, Season 6. Also coming back, Keenan, Mr. Mayor, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, The Wall, Transplant, and the revival of The Weakest Link. We understand that shows such as Debris, Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, and Game of Games and others are still on the bubble. There are some pilots like the proposed revival of Night Court that are also in play, and there are some other new unscripted shows that are also going to be worked into mid-season or late season in 2022. And, of course, we'll certainly keep you posted on all of those developments. Blackish will get an eighth and last season on ABC this fall. Still to be determined, the fate of third-year prequel Mixed-It and development of another such series from creator Kenya Barris, Oldish. Now some quickies. Fox will greenlight Accused, the new anthology series for the 2022-23 season. The program will offer courtroom studies of social issues, a different case each episode. The program is put together by former Homeland executive producers Howard Gordon and Alex Ganza. Alex was on our show when Homeland starred on Showtime, and David Shore of House, and more recently, The Good Doctor fame. A Spanish-language version of Comedy Central Presents, the long-running stand-up performance outpost, debuts tonight on Estrella TV, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Gillian Anderson will join the cast of Hulu historical dramedy The Great. She'll play the mother of Catherine the Great, played by Ellie Fanning, in several season 2 installments. ABC in the last hour has decided to drop the axe on rookie sitcom Call Your Mother. And TNT is down one analyst for its upcoming NBA playoff coverage. All-star player turned commentator Chris Webber, who's been at TNT paired with Marv Albert since 2008, has ended his association there. TNT so far has offered no comment. And that is news notes for today. We are still awaiting Brock DeMignon. He is the executive producer and founder of the Freedom Interactive TV Networks Association. Brock, if you're hearing us, make the call 646-652-2906. And as soon as I see the radio on the air, we will get you on the air. In the meantime, we've got our classic trivia question of the week to do, so let's do it right now. We started posting the current question on Monday's episode. So far, no winner. Let's see if we get a winner either before the end of the day or before the end of the weekend. Three prizes in store for you. First, we have two soundtracks, different soundtracks, from the popular syndicated series from J. Michael Straczynski, Babylon 5, the music by its composer, Christopher Friend. And we also have, from the former Outdoor Life Network and National Geographic, we have season one of the award-winning series, Departures. And both are available to you if you know the answer to this question. Who played Kit Carson on The Adventures of Kit Carson? That's one of the first Western TV series around. The co-star was Dan Diamond. It was on TV from 1951 to 1955, four seasons, put together by Review Studios and MCA TV. It was in syndication, and you can catch the episodes now on YouTube. Once again, the question, who played Kit Carson on The Adventures of Kit Carson? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you are first with the correct answer, you will win those prizes. And if we don't get a winner by the end of today, we will post the questions as we do the next morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at my Twitter handle, which is at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. So let's see if we can get a winner. We haven't had one in about a month, so let's see if we can get one and start maybe a new winning streak. Again, the question, who played Kit Carson on The Adventures of Kit Carson from 1951 to 1955? You know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. And again, if we don't get a winner by the end today, we post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT, at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, as we always say around here, in order to win, play in. And all the very best. Well, we're still awaiting Brock D'Avignon from the Freedom Interactive TV Network Association to be with us. So, Brock, if you hear us, pick up the phone, dial in 646-652-2906. And as soon as we get you, we will have you on the air. And coming up at the bottom of the hour, we will hear from Boston, from Will Richmond. He is the popular editor and publisher of Video News, a wonderful website and organization that does a lot of great news on the world of online and more recently smart TV sets and smart TV devices and the programming services they carry. Every year, Richmond does a wonderful advertising summit. It usually is done live in person here in New York. But last year and now this year, it will again be virtual. It's now called the Connected TV Ad Summit. We'll talk about it. That's taking place next month. He also has just started a brand new version of his long-running podcast called Inside the Stream. And we'll talk about how that is doing in its first month or so on the air. So Will Richmond will be with us. We'll talk about the digital content new fronts. A lot of news broke over the last week there. And then we'll also talk about the upcoming group of upfront events that start on Monday with NBC Universal and Fox and Canela TV, which, by the way, we covered on the show last year. And much more from Warner Media, from Univision, Discovery, Disney, and Viacom CBS also will be part of that event, which runs from Monday until Wednesday afternoon. The CW, which was usually part of those new front events, will actually be doing a press conference the following Thursday. Not this Thursday, but the following Thursday on May 25th. While we have a moment and while we're trying to wait for Brock, I do let you know that another guest that we were scheduled to have on today will not be on today, and that is John Denby, the three-time Emmy Award-winning composer and the Oscar nominee for his great score for The Passion of the Christ, one of the few Oscar nominations that that film received. John was all set to go with us today. Unfortunately, he just got a brand new musical assignment for a new movie. Apparently, he had to do a special screening of footage from that film, and as it turned out, they delayed the screening from when it was supposed to be this morning until right about now. They could not know what the publicist's office didn't know whether he would be available, so we decided, for the sake of everybody involved, that John, unfortunately, will not be on the show today. We will have him on, we expect, not next week, but the week after on this program, and I promise you, it will be worth the wait. Debney is one of the top TV and film composers around. He is currently doing the score for Disney Plus's popular new series, The Mighty Ducks Game Changers. And as I mentioned, he has a brand new film that he will be doing the music for. In addition to his Oscar nomination for The Passion of the Christ. He was he was nominated 7 times for Emmys, and in the 1990s, he won 3 in 3 consecutive years for his score for The Young Writers, the ABC series, then his theme music for Sequest DMB, that's the Steven Spielberg underwater undersea series starring Roy Scheider in his only weekly television series run, 2 out of 3 seasons it was on, and then the following year he won for his musical score for The Cape. And we were also hoping to have on a gentleman who works with the Wharton School for the Performing Arts. His name is Peter Gaeselink. He is the executive director of the Wharton Institute for the Performing Arts, which last week gave Debney their annual Lifetime Achievement Award, and we're hoping to have Peter on the show as well. So we promise you that John and Peter will be with us, if not next week, week after next. And we apologize for, and everybody apologizes all around for the late cancellation. As I said, I promise you it will be a wonderful interview, long awaited, and I think it will be worth the wait. And we wish John very well with his wonderful work. By the way, if you'd like to catch his work, find out more about it, he has his own website. It's johndebney.com. That's J-O-H-N-D-E-B-N-E-Y, all one phrase, johndebney.com. And for more details about his latest TV assignment, The Mighty Ducks Game Changers, on Disney Plus and doing very well, got a lot of good critic reviews, go to www.disneyplus.com. That's www.disneyplus.com. And I think you'll enjoy the show, excuse me, and I also think you'll certainly enjoy John's music. Okay, we are still awaiting Brock D'Avignon from the Freedom Interactive TV Networks Association. Brock, if you can hear me or somebody that you know can hear me, please give us a call, 646-652-2906. And as soon as we know that you're ready to go on the air, we will put you on. Simple as that. So we'll see what happens. And if there does turn out to be a breakdown, which unfortunately he got caught up in, we'll reschedule him for next Friday's episode. Simple as that. And while we wait, I want to let you know, in case you don't, that our next episode is Monday at a special time. Because of the upfront events going on, we're going to be with you an hour earlier than normal. So please check the special time. It's 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. That's 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. Our lead guest will be John Kroll. He is the executive producer of the popular National Geographic series Gordon Ramsay, Uncharted. If you think all Gordon does is cooking shows like Hell's Kitchen, MasterChef on Fox, and MasterChef Junior, you're going to be very surprised by the fact that Uncharted has now getting into its 3rd season on Nat Geo, and John will talk all about that. Plus, he's done some other great work, including The Amazing Race in the world of unscripted and competition television, and we'll talk about John's career as well. And we'll also have the co-founder and chief executive officer of a brand-new multi-channel bundle available on smart TV sets and smart devices, of children's and family-friendly programming. It's called Toon Goggles. His name is Stephen Hodge. And you'll meet him, and we'll find out about his new venture, which looks like it's off to the very good races at the start. Stephen Hodge from Toon Goggles and John Kroll from Gordon Ramsay, Uncharted, and Nat Geo, both with us Monday at our special time, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. That's 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. All right. So while we are still waiting for Brock to come on, let's do some words to the fine folks at audible.com. I have a hunch that you didn't wrap up your childhood if you didn't hear or read one of the great books by the terrific author Beverly Cleary. You know, those books about Henry Huggins or that person on Click Attack Street knows Ramona, who's always getting herself into crazy, crazy adventures. Well, if you haven't checked out Beverly Cleary's wonderful books at your public library or somewhere else, well, you can check it out now through audible.com because it just come out with a brand new audio event called the Ramona Quimby Audio Collection. That's the Ramona Quimby Audio Collection by Beverly Cleary with some wonderful supporting help too. And you can get that, if you like, with a wonderful trial run, 1 month trial run at audible.com. And as we say all the time, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 200,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, iTunes, Apple TV, Verbal, the iRadio Podcast Network, etc. All you have to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. So simple. It's audibletrial.com/televised, and you get one free audiobook, like the Ramona Quimby audio collection or something else of your choice, and you get a one-month trial. You also get health and wellness information, and you get great customer service from Audible's parent, which happens to be Amazon.com. Now, get this. If you're already an Amazon Prime member, you are in super shape because make that two audiobooks you get to try out for in the month of one. And one of those audiobooks could be from the fast-growing catalog of Audible Originals. I'm talking original audio productions made for sound and podcast too, and great one-woman, one-man performances, and the best of Broadway, off-Broadway regional theater. In case you haven't heard, Broadway is coming back loud and clear this September, thanks to the fact we're licking this coronavirus pandemic and sending it to Kingdom Come. And that includes everybody who's been vaccinated so far here in New York, which has been an incredible reaction, by the way, to all the vaccines. Again, I want to thank the people at Javits Center that gave out the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. I got it about a month ago, and I'm feeling in great shape. And we're making that progress. And by the way, next week, all restaurants and bars and gyms and other places, indoor places, can now operate at 100% capacity. And, of course, you know the news by now from the Center for Disease Control. If you're vaccinated, you can go outdoors. You can go indoors. You can see people without a mask and without social distancing. And that's because of you out there taking the vaccines to heart. Let's keep it going. We are licking this pandemic, folks, to Kingdom Come. That's a little side of the conversation. So, anyway, for one or two audiobooks, that one-month trial, all you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/televised and find out for yourself how audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. And remember, audible.com, that trial makes a great, great gift for you or someone you love. Oh, and don't forget, now audible.com has two ways to subscribe. There's Audible and there's Audible Premium Plus. So check it out. Either way, you get a trial to one or both services, and I promise you it will definitely, like I said, transform the way you hear the world. And the first step, go to audibletrial.com/televised. Well, sorry to say, it's looking like we are not going to get Brock Yavignon from the Freedom Interactive TV Networks Association on our program. We will check and see where the breakdown came from, and we will attempt to have him on this program next week or shortly thereafter. In the meantime, if you want to find out more about Brock's organization, the Freedom Interactive TV Networks Association, here's where you can go, AmericanVisionMagazine.blogspot.com. Again, that's AmericanVisionMagazine.blogspot.com. I'll say it one more time, AmericanVisionMagazine.blogspot.com. And again, we apologize for not being able to have him. Something probably has happened. And we'll find out what it is, whatever it is, we'll remedy the situation, and we'll invite Brock to be on our show next week, next Friday, okay? Okay. Well, in the meantime, while we wait for Will Richmond, who will join us at the bottom of the hour from Beantown, namely Boston, which is his headquarters for video news, I do want to let you know that earlier today, I filed a column for Media Village, that's the media leadership website that I write for, about what turned out to be a landmark event that took place this past Tuesday and Wednesday. And this landmark event is another upfront dealing with the world of black-owned media. If you don't know who Byron Allen is, you ought to know, because he has become one of the leading entrepreneurs in all of television and all of media. He is the owner of the Weather Channel. He now owns a growing group of broadcast stations. He owns a growing group of linear networks, aside from the Weather Channel. And he also runs one of the largest syndicators in terms of programming entertainment studios, which, among other things, does the daily comedy game show Funny You Should Ask, as well as a number of court shows featuring such people as Judge Ross, America's Court, and Christina Perez, the Emmy Award winner for an earlier courtroom show that she did in syndication. In recent months, Allen has been on a crusade, and the crusade is very simple. Advertising agencies and advertisers, it's time for you to put the money where your mouth is and support black-owned media companies. That's media companies, whether it's magazines, print, other print publications, television networks, new media enterprises, all owned by African Americans. They serve a community of color that is expected to spend $1.4 trillion, that's trillions and trillion dollars, on goods and services this year. And what we would like to do is encourage you to spend a minimum of 5% of your annual advertising budget on these companies. And in fact, IPG Media Brands, one of the largest ad agencies in the country and the world, has committed to Alan's request to spend at least 5% of their annual ad budget this year on black-owned media. Group M, another major agency, has declared they're going to spend at least 2%. First step, we'll see if Alan decides, hey, up the ante to at least 5. So last Tuesday and Wednesday, Alan gathered together under his Black Media Matters banner, or Black-owned Media Matters banner, put together a two-afternoon set of upfront presentations by these organizations, which include his. And it was really remarkable. Over 1,300 people, many from the ad agency and advertiser world, checked it out through TVNewsCheck.com. And if you want to read what has turned out to be one of the very few reports on the situation, go now to media, or go to, after our program, to MediaGhost.com. It's MediaGhost.com. I have to say, it was a lot to get to. There are a lot of African-American-owned media companies out there, everyone from Urban Edge Networks, which earlier this month launched HBCU League Pass. It's an on-demand service available on Roku and on other smart TV sets and devices that presenting sports and other activities from historically black college universities around the country. Incidentally, there's over, if you know, over 100 accredited in that fashion. And the owners of Black Enterprise, one of the longest-running magazines devoted to the business side of the African-American community, the revival of Ebony and Jet, two of the sort of like the life and look, if you will, of magazines aimed at African-Americans, and many other companies, and Alan's own Alan Media Group. Yes, some of the presentations could have used a lot of editing. Some of the slide presentations were fuzzy. You could not read the graphics because the typeface was small, the camera work was fuzzy. And in spite of that, it was a very powerful 2 days of presentations. No question that these enterprises want to get into, for example, smart TV sets and smart TV device programming services in a huge, not big, huge way. And it was also very clear that there were a number of other African-American media companies they could find in the chat room that also want to be part of this. It will be very interesting to see how the rest of the ad community follows or doesn't follow IPG, Media Brands, and Group M's lead. I can tell you this, Alan is going to be on the warpath to make it happen. So I want to congratulate Byron for doing this. I think it was a big milestone. Again, if you want to read my column that was published this morning about it, go to MediaVillage.com, www.MediaVillage.com. I'd love to hear what you think. I will say two things beyond that. Number one, deeply shocked that the entertainment news press did not cover this. That Ad Age, that Ad Week, that Hollywood Reporter, that Variety, Deadline Hollywood Daily, for the first 24, 48 hours after Wednesday's presentation did not cover this story. Variety did late yesterday. But everyone else is either asleep at the wheel or late to the party. And I hope it's the latter rather than the former, because this was a well-publicized event. Secondly, I want to say to Byron, if he gets a chance to hear this, Byron, we would love to do an hour with you. And something else, too. You need to be more press-oriented about what you're doing. One of the things that we didn't hear about, and I've been wanting to hear about for, and a lot of people also, since Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, was the launch of the Griot.tv as a multicast channel, and soon it will be a smart TV distributed channel also. The Griot.tv has now been around for about 4.5 months, and yet nobody seems to know what the programming is, what the scheduling is, what's in the works, and so on. There has not been a single, as far as I know, and I may be wrong, there has not been a single press release issued by Entertainment Studios, by Allen Media Group, by Allen's organization about the Griot.TV and its schedule and its programming. And as I've said so many times over the years, if you don't let people know what you're doing, you have little or no shot to get an audience. You've got to let people, if you want a chance to let people know that you have a service on and what it's doing, you've got to let people know. And I'm shocked, that the Rio.TV has been on for 4 months or so, and we still don't know what the schedule is, and we don't know what the programming is, and what's coming up. So, Byron, word of the wise, get some new PR, get more PR, and let us know what are you doing. Let us know about Patterns, your climate change, sustainable living, smart TV service. Let us know more about the Griot.TV. Let us know more about all the different shows you're doing on with Entertainment Studios and what's coming up from that division. You might find out that the press could really be a source of support in expanding your horizons, and I think it really can. And you got to step it up in that regard. And Byron, we would love to have you on for an hour. I really do. I want to open this invite to you. We really would love to have you for a full hour. We'll do it commercial free. We'll talk about your crusade. We'll talk about your various services, and we'll make something happen. So, Byron, ball's in your court. We'd love to have you for a full hour. No questions asked. So up to you. And again, Byron, congratulations for making this happen. And to all of you out there, if you want to know, as I said, what took place, what really had to be a really amazing event. And by the way, I want to give kudos to TVNewsCheck.com for coordinating the event with Alan and his organization, and also handling all the technical capability, the Zoom link and so forth, for more than 1,300 people to watch it this past Tuesday, Wednesday. Please, congratulations for a fantastic job. And if you want to know more about the event, go to MediaVillage.com. And also go to Variety.com, because they did do a very interesting story about the event, too, as well. So be sure to do it. And also go to Allen Media Broadcasting. It's AllenMediaBroadcasting.com as well for all details about everything that Byron Allen is up to. All righty. We're going to take and when we come back, Will Richmond, the editor and publisher of Video News, will join us. We'll talk about the digital content new front of last week, and we'll preview the big carousel of upfront events coming your way next week. And also coming up, we'll have our show to know. Amazon has got a brand new program coming up next Friday that we think you'll know more about. It's another anthology series, and it is another unique one called Solos. We'll get to all of that after we pause near the bottom of the hour for web identification. You can have the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tuner.com. Together, reaching nearly 60 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, VTR is your home for Anchor for the Soul. Check out the world of the paranormal, the world of the unknown, as John Newland would say, beyond our five senses. That's Anchor for the Soul, tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, next Monday and every weekday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, it's Kings in the Morning. It's a great way to wake up. There's news, information, music, entertainment, and a whole lot more with Jay King and his crew. Kings in the Morning, Monday and every weekday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to more of Tomorrow Be Televised on an absolutely spectacular weather day here in the Big Apple. Tom Abbott, I'm with you live from New York. Happy to have you with us. 75 degrees at the top of the hour. Once again, we apologize for our opening guest, Brock D'Avignon from the Freedom Interactive TV Network Association, being with us in our first half hour, and for John Debney, the Oscar-nominated Emmy-winning composer, being with us this half hour. And again, if you want to know more about what Brock is doing with his organization, go to AmericanVisionMagazine.blogspot.com. And if you want to know more about John Debney and his wonderful composing, including his latest work on television, the popular Disney Plus series, The Mighty Ducks Game Changers, go to JohnDebney.com, and also go to www.DisneyPlus.com. JohnDebney.com. That's the composer's own website. And for Disney Plus, www.disneyplus.com. And once again, we will reschedule John for later on this month. All right? All right. Anyway, another great guest coming your way very shortly. And if you have a question or comment for that guest, give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, Tuner Radio. And if you want to not use the phone but use our chat room, go right ahead and do so. The chat room is SimonApple04 by name, and you will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Use the phone or the room. Either way, we hear you. And don't forget, while our show is on the air, as always, you connect others to take a listen by using Facebook Timeline. Click the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk speaker to your screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. And now live with us from Boston, wonderful person who covers the media scene for Video News, which he is the editor and publisher for. He's also the co-host of the popular new podcast, Inside the Stream, and he's the organizer of the annual Advertising Summit. This is Connected TV version that will be appearing virtually next month. Coming back with us from Boston, first time in a long while, our very good friend, Will Richmond. Hi, Will.
Hey, Simon. Good to be with you.
Same here, Will. Let's get right to it. It was a very big last week with those digital content new fronts. What was your big takeaway from it?
So it was indeed a big week. And first of all, I have to say a huge congratulations to the IAB, which hosts and organizes the new fronts. They did a really fantastic job. There were, I think, about 36 presentations throughout the week and a jam-packed schedule and just a ton of learning and really trying to understand what's happening in this whole evolving streaming and digital landscape. So I would say that there were really three things that jumped out at me, three main themes that were emphasized throughout a lot of the presentations. One is the shift in viewership from linear TV to streaming and connected TV. The second is that as part of that shift, advertisers are losing their reach to 18 to 49-year-olds, and particularly younger audiences that are just not watching linear TV any longer. So ads that show up there are just not being seen any longer, and that supports the reason for why advertisers need to shift dollars from linear TV into streaming and CTV. And the third theme was really an emphasis on improving the return on advertiser spending through things like better targeting, full funnel, trying to really expand the concept of what TV advertising can be, not just a reach medium that it historically has been, but at the top of the funnel, but one that can function more mid-funnel and lower funnel to drive conversions, drive actions, and really, you know, help marketers get a better return on their ad spending. So those were really kind of the three main themes that I took away from the week.
Mm-hmm. Well, along with those three, Will, there were two that I took away that I'd like to get your comment on. Let's do the first one, which is this: that smart TV set and device makers, along with multi-channel bundles that run on those sets and devices, are now content makers. They're no longer just content distributors. They are actual content players. You have Vizio in an announcement, which I thought was really overlooked by all the press, that Vizio is now going to create channels, individual channels with individual outside players, starting with a gaming esports channel. They can do a gay and lesbian channel and a number of others over the course of the next year. You have Roku now with Roku Originals, which, by the way, will be premiering the former Quibi material on May 20th, but it's going to be much more than that, it looks like. You got Fox with Tubi doing Originals. What was your thinking about that? How do you think advertisers responded to the fact that now you have these smart TV devices becoming content makers as well as distributors?
Absolutely, yeah. I agree, Simon, and certainly watching Vizio and Samsung and LG is also, of course, in the space. Roku with the Originals, the acquisition of the Quibi content and This Old House and other things that they're doing. It's unmistakable that the smart TV makers want to have a big stake in advertising. And I think that, you know, really a lot of it is trying to take a page out of the Roku playbook. Roku has just been incredibly successful and evolving themselves from primarily a hardware maker to now getting a real majority of their revenue and a vast majority of their profitability from their platform business, which is both advertising and licensing the OS. So I think the other big smart TV makers understand that and are looking to emulate that. And there's, I think, a really good reason for doing so, is, as Roku has shown. If you have that first-party data on the viewers, on from both registration and from their actual viewership, and this is something that, you know, Vizio, for example, talks about a lot, the kind of the glass, what they call the glass level data, the actual viewing that people are doing through their TVs as a means to better target them with ads, that's going to be valuable to advertisers. And so I think it's really perfectly natural and just another dynamic, another part of the dynamic advertising business that we see today, is that the smart TV makers want to get their share as well.
Yeah. The other thing to take away is a mixed picture on where we stand with interactive television. On the plus side, you got a sense that interactive advertising is going to explode. And if you want more evidence, look at what NBC Universal announced yesterday, which is all these new ways that we're going to get advertisers to do interactive advertising, from choose-your-own-adventure type formats to call up on your television set more information about the product, to if you want to put an item, a good or a service into a shopping cart, you can without having to go through the smartphone. On the other side, I thought it was very interesting that Roku, for example, did not talk about adding Food Network Kitchen, which may be an interactive service that is now ready to go beyond just being on Amazon Fire TV sets, co-owned with Discovery. I was surprised they didn't mention that. And I was also surprised that Amazon, in their presentation, which I thought was one of the best presentations, that talked about IMDb.TV and the fact that they're becoming an ad-supported player of original content, but they didn't talk about what you can do interactively with Amazon Fire TV.
Right. I hear you. And actually, I agree with you. I thought the Amazon presentation was a lot of fun and certainly, but to your point, did not capture the full interactivity or the full breadth of what, you know, one might expect from Amazon. But I hear you on, you know, interactivity, and certainly there's a push toward it. NBC Universal has been among the more aggressive. I think they recognize, and, you know, the point that I was making before and trying to evolve TV advertising beyond just a reach and branding medium, but really one that can drive product sale and drive conversion for their advertising partners. And so interactivity has been talked about for, I don't know, at least a couple of decades now. Is that about right? But I think it's starting to come into focus a little bit more. And one other player that I would mention is YouTube, because their brandcast presentation is always one of the highlights of the new fronts. And as I'm sure you know, they have reported two really strong quarters of advertising for YouTube. So Q4 2020, they were at $6.9 billion in global advertising revenue for YouTube. And then Q1 21, they were at $6 billion in total ad revenue. That was up about 50% year over year. And what they, on the Google earnings call, repeatedly reference is the contribution that direct response ads are having in YouTube. Now, those ads only run on mobile and on desktop right now. So they're not really a connected TV format, but YouTube has become a force in connected TV. They now get about 120 million viewers per month on connected TV. And one of the things that they announced as part of their brandcast was a feature that they're calling brand extensions. And they weren't super detailed about how the implementation is going to work, but I think it was clear that it's meant to give their advertisers a degree of interactivity in connected TV ads. And I think we're not even in the top of the first inning in terms of what YouTube is going to try to do with interactivity in CTV and leverage off of the direct response success that they've had so far in mobile and desktop. But I think that's going to be a big driver of the market as well.
Yeah. You know, before going further, ditto your thoughts about the Interactive Ad Bureau. I thought they did a whale of a job putting that event together. And I want to give credit to Maria Menounos, especially given the fact that the weekend before she lost her mother to brain cancer. And the fact that she fulfilled her commitment and did so incredibly well, not only hosting but having those wonderful conversations with her co-hosts, being very classy all the way. I thought she did a magnificent job given everything personal happened in her life. And, I hope that IAB will continue to use her when these new fronts go hopefully back in person in New York next year.
Yeah, I very much agree. I thought she was terrific, especially in light of the loss that she just had over the weekend. And, of course, she's a Boston girl, so we need to give her a shout-out for that as well.
Oh, for sure. Any disappointments, either a particular exhibitor? By the way, you're right about the Brandcast. YouTube just has a whale of a dog. I'd love to know that studio that they did that Brandcast in. It's one of the most biggest sound stages I've seen in a long time, and I thought they used it beautifully. It was a very interesting event. I like the interactivity that they used, both beforehand for people who wanted an interactive version, and also in the pre-show, where for the first time they had people choose like different ways that a particular sequence would go. Were there any presentations that disappointed you, or any companies that you wish would have been part of the new fronts?
I wouldn't say that there were any that really disappointed me. I mean, as has been reported, the cast of presenters has changed significantly over the years. So, we now see a player like NBC Universal presenting as part of the new fronts that I don't think we've ever had before. Amazon, I think, was in there for the first time. But then others like Yahoo, actually Verizon Media may have been a part of it now as I think about it. I think they were a part of it. But, it used to be branded under Yahoo and AOL, used to be big presenters at the new fronts. So I think the week has evolved. It's just amazing to me how much effort and creativity and investment all these different presenters put into their presentations. I think the bar has just continually gotten higher and higher on how these presentations work. But it's not just style. I think it's substance as well. I think the presenters all do a really good job of blending the data about their audiences, very specific data about their audiences, the kinds of people who they reach, how they can be reached, what the different targeting technologies and formats and everything else that they're presenting to the advertisers. And then always, the sort of the glitz and glamour of the reveals of the new shows and integrating talent into their presentations. So I think that they're really well balanced, and I just give a lot of credit to all of them because I think they all do a really, really great job.
Yeah, definitely the balance was there. I would say for me, Will, I think there were two disappointments. In terms of individual presenters, and I mentioned this in my coverage of Media Village, Vice Media Group and BuzzFeed, I thought were terrible. They were great on the big picture. They were very well-produced sequences, but the one thing they failed to do, and this is something that early on in the New Fronts history, a number of the players did not do, was what people in the upfronts do. You have to tell people what you're doing. Vice had nothing to say about what new content they've got coming up this summer and fall and beyond, neither did BuzzFeed. I was surprised at BuzzFeed because you would think that given their acquisition of Huffington Post and other things they've been doing, they would say something. I was very surprised at the lack of specifics by both Vice and BuzzFeed about what they were doing. If there was another disappointment, it was who could not get in. I thought Cinedigm, Future Today, Juke and Media, which has been on the new fronts before, these multi-channel bundles that present original services, I thought should have had some play because they are doing a lot of interesting stuff. Cinedigm in terms of a variety of new networks that they're doing, Future Today in terms of doing a lot of family-friendly content, live-action animation, Juke and Media with user-generated. I was very surprised that none of them were able to get in.
Yeah, I can't speak to why or why not certain presenters are in, and I'll have to concede that I did not see the Vice or BuzzFeed presentations. I think I watched about 13 or 14 of them in total, but I didn't catch those two, so I don't know specifically what they did or didn't do, but I agree with you. I mean, I think of the core New Front presentation as one that includes the three elements that I just mentioned, the idea of who your audience is that's watching, that's consuming, how to access it, so the ad formats, technology, et cetera, and then the introduction of the new programs and the talent and the kind of the glitz and glamour. Those are the three core elements that I've come to expect from the New Fronts presentations, and each presenter sort of balances those in different ways. But, personally, I like the ones that are heavier on explaining who their audience is and how the content is consumed and how advertisers can reach that audience. I feel like that's the sort of the big opportunity, if you will, in these presentations, is to, you know, allow them to differentiate from what traditional linear TV has always been about, and let them explain, you know, what can be done in streaming, what can be done in CTV. And importantly also, I think, not to be overlooked, is what can be done in mobile. I thought the presentations from TikTok and Snap were among the best that I saw. And, you know, they are really primarily mobile-centric messages, and that might change down the road. But as much attention as I pay to connected TV, I think it's always important to keep in mind that mobile is a huge part of the landscape, particularly for younger viewers.
Yeah, you know, interesting, Will, and then we'll move on to the upfronts for next week, is that IAB really formatted these new fronts very well. Monday was smart TV sets, smart devices, smart streaming services. Tuesday was unscripted for the most part. Wednesday was news information, and Thursday was the hodgepodge, mobile, out-of-home, gas station TV, GSTV, et cetera, et cetera. And it was also great to see, too, not only this format, which I think made it easier to consume for viewers, but also the fact that a lot of these presentations also included testimonials by advertisers using these services,
right,
which is something that I think in terms of the majority of these presentations were long overdue. And it's great to see that IAB really encouraged their presenters to show us advertisers that use your product in an entertaining way, and that will help your message.
Yeah, I agree. I thought those testimonials from senior agency executives and brand executives was very effective. And I think, you know, I don't know how those asks get made and how willing folks are to become a part of those presentations, but I think more of that in the future would definitely be additive, in even more detail than it was presented this year. I mean, they're relatively short clips, those interviews with the agency and brand folks, but I think digging in even further would be very helpful.
Yeah, and IAB did a nice job every day to also include two things. One was the ad spots and how they did, but also to showcase new companies from people of color, like Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith's Westbrook company, Canela TV, which we covered on this program, which, by the way, we'll do a upfront next Monday. In addition, Hillman Grad, the company led by Lena Waithe, and also Black Tag, which we covered on this program last year, which I think is like the Netflix YouTube for African-American content. And I think it's, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they're going to do, because the entrepreneurs behind it really, I think, could do something very special.
Yeah, I agree. I thought IAB did a really nice job also in balancing all of that, too. And, you know, again, it's just, I think, a testament to the amount of thought that IAB puts into the New French Week and that it really shows.
Mm-hmm. Will Richmond, the editor and publisher of Video News, my guest this half hour on Tomorrow We Televised. Joining us live from Boston, have a question or comment for him in our remaining minutes with him, give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or use that chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Well, Will, next week, we got the big parade, as some people like to say, of the upfronts with organizations like NBC Universal, Fox, Viacom, CBS, Warner Media, Univision, Discovery, except Disney, et cetera. And this may be the first time that we are going to see mega content services be a lot of the presentation. With NBC Universal on Monday, it's Peacock and it's Zumo. With Fox, it's Tubi. With Viacom, CBS, it's Paramount Plus, the former CBS All Access. With Warner Media, it's HBO Max, who's about to go ad support. With Univision, it's Prende TV, their new mega content ad-supported service. What are you looking forward to with these upfronts next week, Will? And especially, how much play do you think these mega content services are going to get compared to broadcasting cable, which has been the usual highlight of these presentations?
Yeah, I think they're going to get a lot of attention, to put it very succinctly. I think all the you know, major media companies at this point know that streaming needs to be front and center in their messaging about their messaging to advertisers about how to partner with them. And so I think those services are going to be front and center next week. And, you know, one of the things that I'm going to be curious to see more of when it comes to the new programs, the reveals, is how those programs are allocated between streaming and the networks. Because I think what we're seeing is, you know, something of a trend toward the, you know, some programming going on to streaming first and then to the networks later. And so, you know, all these companies now have really significant decisions to make because, of course, they are paid billions of dollars per year by pay TV distributors who expect to have those networks' best product available on, you know, on their services. And so to have them leak over into their streaming products is a tough message for the pay TV world to digest. So they're walking a fine line between wanting to put as much oomph behind their streaming services, but at the same time respect their established, you know, business partners, the pay TV operators. So that's certainly something I'm going to be looking for. Something else that I'm going to be looking for out of next week is to kind of touch base back to what we were just talking about a few minutes ago, in terms of interactivity and more of a full funnel message from the network executives. So in other words, we heard at the New Fronts about how advertisers can look at their video ads, not just at the top of funnel branding type traditional TV ads, but also in more of a digital context, how they can really go after lower funnel, mid-funnel, lower funnel metrics. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how strongly that message is promoted at the upfronts next week as well. So in other words, not just to be able to target in streaming, but to actually be able to meet up with some of the lower funnel metrics that digital advertisers have come to expect. So I'll be curious to see how that message gets promoted next week.
And going back to interactive content, you wonder, is Hulu at Disney's upfront going to say, hey, we're going to do an interactive TV series for the first time, or NBC Universal Peacock, or HBO Max at Warner Media's event next Wednesday, or Discovery doing something interactive at how about Discovery Plus? It's going to be very interesting to see whether a interactive content shows up, which it hasn't yet, in terms of series or specials, with the exception of Netflix. And secondly, as you said, how much attention is going to be on where individual TV shows go? We just had an example this week where Joe Exotic, which is a series that was going to run on Peacock, NBC, and USA simultaneously, reversed course and said, nope, just on Peacock. And we had NBC this afternoon, rather than wait until Monday morning to announce their schedule for NBC, the broadcast network, they did it this afternoon, which is a first for them.
Right. So on interactive content, Simon, I'm going to be a little bit of a contrarian on that one. I think that the jury is still out on whether viewers really want that sort of interactivity. I think that TV long form, again, high quality original scripted programming, still tends to be a lean back type of medium that people want to be immersed in the story that the storytellers have in mind, rather than try to, you know, interact and be engaged too much. I think that works very much in the gaming world, but I don't know that it works in the TV world. That may be less the case for younger viewers. There may be a little more preference, but I don't think we're going to see any major moves in interactive content next week. Conversely, though, I do think that we are going to see, as NBC Universal has already previewed this week, as we already discussed, I think we're going to see more of an emphasis on interactivity in the ads themselves, in formats that allow advertisers to create messages that viewers can interact with and act on and follow up on and do something with. I think that, you know, we see some of that in the Super Bowl ads. I think we're going to see more of that in the upfronts next week. Again, I think that gotten the message from advertisers that they're looking for more full funnel type of solutions in these TV advertising partnerships that they have, more emulating what they've expected, what they've come to expect in digital. And I think we'll see the networks respond to that.
I totally agree. And I think that if interactive ads take off, interactive content in terms of series, special, et cetera, may also take off as a result. We're going to see whether somebody decides to step forward or whether they wait to see how interactive advertising does. And we also see, too, whether we see more efforts in the area of sports as we did this past pro football season with the special edition of a playoff game for Nickelodeon, the special edition of a playoff game for Freeform, the special edition with ESPN Plus, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We'll see how that goes. Before we let you go, talk about Inside the Stream, your new podcast. How's that going?
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you for that prompt. Inside the Stream is a podcast I'm doing with Colin Dixon, who's been my longtime podcasting partner. He's the chief analyst at InScreen Media and also a veteran of the industry. So we have rebranded. We are now branding the podcast as Inside the Stream. We've had some terrific guests on so far. We just had Kevin Westcott, who's the vice chairman of Deloitte, talking about their new research that just released last month. We had Andrea Zapata, who is VP of Sales at Vivo, talking about the success that they've had with connected TV over the past year. And Colin and I continue in our mission of trying to really bring viewers inside the stream, as we call it, to help them understand the streaming video industry. And I'll just add also, Simon, to what you said earlier, that June 9th and 10th, we'll be having our annual Connected TV Advertising Summit. That's a virtual event, free to all, complimentary registration. We have, I think, about 35 speakers now lined up over two afternoons. And just encourage your listeners to take a look at videonews.com to be able to register for free.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And is there a particular speaker that you're looking forward to the most? Or in big way?
Well, one of the speakers that I think is always terrific we've had before is Allison Levin, who runs the ad business at Roku. And, of course, Roku, there's no, arguably, I think, no bigger success story than Roku when it comes to CTV advertising. They have, as we talked about before, just done an absolutely spectacular job of evolving their model. And I think they understand what advertisers are looking for in CTV as well or better than any company out there. Allison has really been one of the primary architects of Roku's success, so we're very much looking forward to having her on the program. She's going to be interviewed for about 25 minutes, but we have a host of other great speakers covering all the main topics in connected TV advertising and streaming. So if any of your listeners are particularly focused in that area, we definitely encourage them to register intent.
Mm-hmm. And one more thing before we go, it'll be interesting to see whether both at next week's upfronts and at your place, the subject of getting advertisers involved in interactive services full-time that are on the air, like Food Network Kitchen, like the upcoming smart trainer service from Samsung, as well as what Peloton is doing with their very successful interactive TV services. Beachbox also, these fitness channels that seem to be multiplying as we speak. Mm-hmm. So we'll see whether we see more services like that. And I'm also hearing that when Magnolia Network comes on as its own service in 2022, whether we may see a Food Network Kitchen kind of service devoted to home repair and home renovation, where you get to participate in live classes, call up, let's say, tips from, let's say, 1,000 tips available. You can call up anytime on the TV set, as well as order products and services. So we'll see what that happens. If you want to know more about what's going on in the world of smart TV sets, devices, connected TV, et cetera, you got a great resource at videonews.com. That's where you can find Will's reporting. And don't forget to check out his Inside the Stream podcast, which runs on Friday afternoons. You can check it out there. I know I get that usually Friday afternoons early on. I promise you it's a great, great listen. That's Inside the Stream. For more details about that, the Connected TV Ad Summit next month, and all of Will's great work, go to www.videonews.com. It's VideoNews.com. You'll be worth the while. It's a great, great treat. Will, thanks again for coming on the program. Let's do this again soon. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks so much, Simon. I really appreciate the time. Great talking to you.
You too. Take care. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Will Richman of Video News joining us live from Boston, Massachusetts. And now before we leave you at the top of the hour, let's give you a regular feature called The Show to Know, where we highlight a program that we think is worth your while. We know it's worth watching, and you might not know about it because it might not be marketed, promoted, publicized the way it ought to be, or because it falls under the radar screen of critics and journalists. Amazon has got a couple of shows this month that definitely are worth watching. Today, they finally put together The Underground Railroad. That's a long-awaited miniseries from Barry Jenkins, the Moonlight fame. It has gotten a static review. A lot of people think it will be an Emmy contender this late summer, early fall. Well, next week, May 21st to be exact, Amazon is launching an anthology series. And if you know me over the years on this program, you know I am a huge fan of anthology programming. I think it's the best kind of programming around. Why? Because it's an opportunity for new talent, whether it's actors, writers, directors, producers, to do their thing in front of you, the viewer. Well, Amazon has come up with what I think is an amazing idea for a weekly anthology series. It's called Solos. And the idea is that a famous actor gets to do basically not a monologue, but a one-person play that deals with their reaction to life as we could know it. Life, let's say, in very cutting-edge technology ways, whether it is artificial intelligence, whether it's breakthrough medical technology, whether it's dealing with a pandemic like what we are hopefully, God willing, finally getting rid of this coronavirus pandemic, et cetera, et cetera. And the talent that Amazon has lined up for this series is incredible. Morgan Freeman in one episode, Anne Hathaway in another, Ellen Mirren, Uzu Adubo, and Constance Wu from Fresh Off the Boat and Crazy Rich Asians. So each episode has a different star in a different presentation. And that's what anthology series are all about. And I hear that the episodes are terrific. Solos premieres on Amazon. That's on Amazon Prime Video, available on smart TV sets and smart devices near you, including Amazon Fire TV, either as an operating system for TV sets or as its own streaming stick, et cetera, on May 21st, 1 week from today. For more details about the promo online, go to AmazonStudios.com. It's AmazonStudios.com. Solos, the new anthology series from Amazon for May 21st. And the Underground Railroad miniseries, directed by Barry Jenkins, opening today to sensational reviews. That's also available on Amazon Prime Video. And again, for all details, AmazonStudios.com. Do you have an idea for a show to know? Is there a TV show that you like that you think doesn't get enough attention and ought to? Well, we want to give it that attention here on this program. Always have, always will. And we have to hear from you. So if you have it, email me, SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name and mailing address. Give us the information about the show. If we use your suggestion here on the air, you get the credit. That's SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. And in order to play in, make it happen. And, of course, all the very best. And before we leave you one more time, let's give you our classic trivia question of the week. For those of you who just joined in, it's this. We introduced it on Monday. Who played Kit Carson on the Western series The Adventures of Kit Carson on television from 1951 to 1955? Who played Kit Carson on The Adventures of Kit Carson? You find the answer at YouTube.com because they are running the episodes. So, if you know the answer, email me, SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. First correct answer wins a pair of wonderful Babylon 5 music soundtracks by its composer Christopher Frank and season one of the award-winning series Departures, originally running on Outdoor Life, later on international versions of National Geographic. SimonApple04@Yahoo.com. That's the email you use. Don't forget to include your name and your mailing address. If you don't get a winner by the end of today, post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. UBC Simon TWBT. In order to win, you got to play in, so do so, and all the very best to you. Again, we apologize for not having Brock Dominion. He is the head of the Freedom Interactive TV Network Association. We will reschedule him, hopefully, for this time next week. And we're also sorry that we could not have the Emmy-winning, Oscar-nominated composer John Debney with us, and we're going to try to have him on for later this month, before Memorial Day weekend. And in the meantime, if you want to find out more about Brock's organization, here's where you go online, AmericanVisionMagazine.blogpost.com, AmericanVisionMagazine.blogpost.com. For more details about John Debney's work, including his new Disney Plus work on the Mighty Ducks Game Changers, go to JohnDebney.com, that's his own personal website, or go to www.disneyplus.com. Coming up Monday on Tsunami Televised, we'll be with you 1 hour earlier than usual. Don't forget the earlier time, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. Joining me will be from the Nat Geo series, Gordon Ramsay, Uncharted, starring Season 3 this month, executive producer John Kroll, and from the brand-new multi-channel bundle aimed at kids and their parents, Toon Goggles, co-founder and chief executive officer, Stephen Hodge. That's all Monday, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on Tsunami Televised. Plus, we'll have news notes, any news we get from the upfronts, first day, first morning or afternoon, we'll bring them to you on a special earlier-than-usual edition. And then next Friday, we'll be back at our regular time period, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, we tell you what to do. Go to the homepage. It's available to you anytime, and that is blogtalkradio.com/televised. blogtalkradio.com/televised. Don't forget, check out our podcast anytime you like this weekend. We're available on iTunes, Apple TV, Spreaker Podcast, TuneIn.com, iRadio.com, Amazon Music, and Verbal. If there's a website, podcast site like Spotify, Pandora, Westwood One Podcast Network, etc., that you'd like to see us on, and they're not carrying us at the moment, tell you what you do. Email them, drop them a communication, let them know you'd like, have them talk to me, and we'll see if we can make a deal together. Okay? Okay. And remember, we love hearing from you. What did you think about our thoughts, Will and I, about the new fronts last week, the upfronts coming up next week? Love to hear your thoughts. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. You can also find me on Facebook, follow me on LinkedIn and Twitter. LinkedIn at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWEC. Remember, however you communicate, we communicate back. You don't go into a wormhole with us. We communicate back to you. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. Oh, by the way, I want to say thank you quickly to Victoria Rowell. Her fourth season of The Rich and the Ruthless premiered yesterday on BET Plus. Congratulations, Victoria. Thank you for spending some of your birthday with us on Monday. You can get that episode, by the way, again, blogtalkradio.com/televised, or check out our podcast. I hope you'll enjoy it. It was a blast to have Victoria Rowell on. She is a diversity champion, and she just keeps on keeping on, and we wish her all the greatest host B-Day. The views expressed were those of the participants, not through those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate is Mandolin. Andy Toews, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, head of content. The co-founders of Enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Charish. Tomorrow Televised was brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook or two and much more, 1 month trial, audibletrial.com. That Televised makes a great gift for you or anyone you know any time of the year. For Tomorrow Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic weekend. If you need to get the vaccine, get the vaccine. Now more than ever, it's important so that you get that mask off, stop the social distancing, and let's get to that next normal sooner rather than later with you aboard. We'll be back on Monday, special time, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, Verbal, and the iRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're seeing now and then, please make it safe and make it great. And for sure, we're linking this pandemic now and forever. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.